Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And we have open phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to discuss or a Bible question you'd like to pose, call now. 1-800-677-9377, because this is your invitation to hear how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The question on the table today is this: why do we suffer? Why do we have to go through experiences that are bad, at least what we think of as bad?
Like, but I did this past week.
Yes, indeed, you did. You had some sickness that you had to deal with, and that's never fun, is it?
And I think we need to offer some advice for our listeners on this thing. You know, I was diagnosed with an upper respiratory viral infection, you know, and they don't have antibiotics that will work with that. So if you're going to get something, be sure it's bacterial so that they can at least give you something that works to kind of help you get over it.
That's a good word of advice.
All right.
Just now, to the how-to. But the point is this: we all suffer. We all go through trials and tribulations, and you know, the big question is why? Why do we do that? And Paul answers, Peter answers, James answer. They all kind of say the same thing about the trials and tribulations that we go through. Here in Romans chapter 5, Paul writes this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this declaration that God makes about us, that we are justified, we are right in his eyes. And because of that, we have peace with God. We're no longer at war with him. We're on the same page. We're in relationship with him. So we have peace with God through our Lord, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So God has planted us in the very grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through faith, we have access into that grace. And so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We long for that day when everything is going to be made right. There's going to be new heavens, new earth. There's going to be no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain. None of that stuff. Sin and death is just totally gone. So certainly we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But not only that, we also rejoice in our sufferings. And for many of us, we just come to a screeching halt right there in reading the Word. What are you, nuts, Paul? You want us to rejoice in our sufferings? That's part of this Christian life, rejoicing when things go bad, when things go wrong. How can that be? Well, God gives us perspective. He shows us that through sufferings, some positive things can come out of those. And so he says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, an ability to hang in there, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Through these trials and tribulations, we actually get to see that our faith is either genuine or it's not. And we gain that through these trials that press on us and that really just bring us to a point in saying, do I really believe that Jesus is both Lord and God? Do I really believe that he can cause all things to work together for good? Do I really believe that he has taken away all of my sins? Do I really believe that I have been declared right in his sight, that he loves me and that nothing can separate me from that love? Do I really believe that? And it's through trials and tribulations that we get to see if that faith is genuine or not. We get to see it proved out in experience. And that's what that word character is all about. You get to see what's going on in the inside make its way to the outside. And boy, that just gives us hope. When we see that our faith is genuine, that just strengthens our hope. And that hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So trials and tribulations, if we see it through the lens of grace, we can say thank you in the midst of those because we know that those trials and tribulations are what show our faith to be genuine, trustworthy, and sure.
Yeah.
That's good news, isn't it?
It is indeed, and that's Basic Gospel. And friends, and this is Basic Gospel. We're glad that you've joined us for this edition. Plenty of open lines. We'd love for you to pose your question or your particular issue you'd like to discuss. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now, so we'd love for you to call very, very quickly. Get on the board, and we'd like to talk to you. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, this is an interesting little question from Ted, who lives in Alexandria, Virginia, and obviously listens to WAVA there. He says, my 8-year-old son Benji asked me a question that I didn't know how to answer. Would Jesus have died of old age if he hadn't been killed? I told him I'd better ask you guys because he wasn't sure.
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to talk about a book that C.S. Lewis wrote, one of his books in the series Chronicles of Narnia, and there was a scene, and it's, you know, somebody asked the what if question, and the wise or the wisdom came back. There are no what ifs. You know, what if Jesus had lived a long time? Would he have died of old age? We'll never know that because that's not reality. That's not what happened. Jesus died at the appropriate time when it was his time to die. He even said to the disciples, it's my time. My time has come. It's kind of interesting, Richard. You look through the book of John and some of the Matthew and Mark and Luke as well. There are many scenes that they write about where Jesus says, you know, it's not my time. You know, the miracle at Cana, the turning the water into wine. Jesus' mother comes to him and says, you know, do something. And he says, it's not my time. It's not yet my time. Mm-hmm. But his time came when he was around 33 years of age, when he had fulfilled all that God had given him to fulfill. It was his time to take his place upon that cross and take upon himself the sins of the world and die in our place so that we could experience life everlasting. That was the plan. That was the will of God. And Jesus executed it flawlessly, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And you read other stories where he does something. He heals on the Sabbath or something else, equates himself with the Father. Minor issues like that, and people pick up stones to stone him, and he just disappears because it wasn't his time. But when it was his time, he was right out front, walking by faith in his Father, and we get the benefits of that victory.
Yeah, years ago, I was in a little investment club, and we were buying various stocks, and we decided to buy Apple. And when we did, we bought it at like $30 a share, and then we sold it. And I just keep thinking, what if we had held on to that? What if we had held on to it? Can't go there because it just brings about depression in my heart and soul. But there are no what ifs in life. It's just the way it is, and we have to deal with it. That's truth. And when we deal with truth, then we can really apply the gospel to that. We can't apply the gospel to fantasy. We can't apply the gospel to what ifs. We can't apply the gospel to futuristic thinking. It can only be applied to here and now and what is real.
Yes. Well, Ted, hope that helps you and hope that helps that little 8-year-old as well. This is Basic Gospel, of course, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. We have plenty of open lines, friends. We want you to be a part of this one at 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, time on the clock. So if you've got a question that you've been hanging on to, don't hang on to it. Go ahead and call right now. We'd love to address it on this edition. 1-800-677-9377. Well, Bob and Richard, as you well know, just a very few years ago, a lady came to one of our conferences unannounced, unexpected, from South Africa. Her name was Erica. And we all just loved her dearly, and it's good to hear from Erica after these several years have passed. And she has stayed in touch with the ministry, and I got this email from her just yesterday. This is from Erica in Durban, South Africa. She says, "Dear Bob, Richard, and Bob, thank you so much for your steadfast revelation of the basic gospel message. Sometimes we really need to hear the same message many, many times over to begin grasping just how loving and wonderful God is in spite of our circumstances." She says, "I was wondering whether God starts working in people that he knows will turn their hearts toward him before they come to Christ, or whether he starts only once they literally repent and repentance takes place. Occasionally, on hindsight, Erica says, I remember situations that seemed miraculous before I repented. It seems that God was rescuing me from potentially bad situations, even though my heart was in the wrong place at that particular time. Thanks. Thank you for your anticipated response. And it's signed Love in Christ. That's from Erica in South Africa.
Well, it is wonderful to hear from Erica. Yeah. I remember when she traveled all that distance to come to one of our seminars, and we just fell in love with her, and she was such a delight to be a part of it. She actually found us on a website and started listening and came to Christ through the broadcast. Right. So an amazing testimony. But I love her question, especially in light of our conversation with John Lynch yesterday.
Yes.
If you listened to the broadcast yesterday, you heard a wonderful interview with John Lynch. And he wrote his story, and he titled it On My Worst Day. And he just started going through his life from early childhood all the way through the present and showing how God was there every step of the way. And his kind of understanding of that as he's looked back. And I think the answer to Erica's question is that God is involved with us from the get-go.
Yeah.
I mean, he is orchestrating events in our lives, causing things to work together for good to bring us to that point of salvation in our hearts and lives. It's not like he just shows up on the scene and says, oh, today is Bob's day and I'm going to show up in his life. I think he's constantly working and bringing us to that point where we truly turn to him for salvation. And then he comes to live inside of us and carries us forward. So God loves us. That was demonstrated through his death on the cross. We can see that. And it's not like he changed his mind when we came to him for salvation. Oh, I used to not like that guy, but, you know, since he's prayed, as John Lynch said yesterday, since he prayed the prayer, I guess I have to love him now. So that's not God at all. He's been involved with us from the very get-go.
Well, and that's the sadness of people who eventually are lost. All through their lives, God has been reaching out to them, trying to get their attention, trying to get them to turn to him because he loves them that much. But they will not. They will not accept him. And that's not something you get angry over and start, you know, hurling thunderbolts at folks. You cry over that because Jesus loves them enough to have died for them and to be raised from the dead for them, but they won't turn, even though he's there all the time, all the time, all the time.
Yes, indeed.
Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. We await your phone calls at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to the Bronxville, New York, and talk with Lori, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lori.
Hi, brothers. Good afternoon to you, and thank you for taking my call.
You are more than welcome.
Yes, Bob. Question. In view of the new covenant and our eternal security in Christ, just a question on John chapter 15.
Okay.
The verse that says that any branch in me that does not bear fruit is cut off and I guess then eventually thrown into the fire. So in view of what we have, how would you explain that verse? I'm just a little bit confused on that.
Well, it's a great question, and it is one of those passages that folks tend to gravitate toward. As far as, you know, the possibility of loss of salvation. I don't think it teaches that at all. I think Jesus is making some radical statements there about him being the true vine and his father being the gardener. I think Israel had the idea that they were the vine, but indeed it was Jesus Christ himself. And Israel was basically not bearing fruit. All throughout the gospel accounts, you see Jesus interacting with Jews and then interacting with Samaritans and Roman soldiers. And all of those folks were showing faith, expressing faith in him. And Jesus would say, why can't I find faith like that in Israel? Why can't I find faith like that among my own? And so he's saying that, you know, he's going to cut them off so that others can be can be grafted in. Paul talks about that in Romans 9, 10, and 11. So I don't think he's really talking about individuals, that you can lose salvation, you know, that one day you respond by faith in Jesus Christ, you're attached to the vine, and then if you don't mind your P's and Q's, he just cuts you right off. That's not what this passage is talking about at all.
No. Okay. Well, thank you so very much, Bob. I do appreciate it. It clears up a lot of things for me.
Well, you're welcome, Lori.
Well, you keep up the great work, Bob. I do enjoy your program. I listen to it as often as I could. God bless you all.
Well, thank you for doing that, Lori. We sure appreciate it. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you our special offer this month. We would love for you to have it as just our way of saying thanks for being a part of the program today. You hang on.
Thank you.
And that special offer is our 3-CD series called Profiles in Character. It's by Bob Christopher, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request your 3-CD series, why, simply go to basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Or call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Profiles in Character, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's talk to Frank in New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you. I'd like to make a comment on the email that said that the does God begin working with us before we get saved, or
yes,
after we get saved? Yeah. There's a beautiful verse in Job. I value it very, very much. And in Job chapter 22, and it says, referring to God, it says, "He will deliver the one who is not innocent, and he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands," which is, he's talking about Job's hands. You know, this is like intercession. So many times I think people are praying for other unsaved people, and God begins to work. He honors those prayers, and he begins to work in that person's life, even though they're not saved yet. And I really love this verse of Scripture. I think it's, you know, very important. And as far as Jesus dying of old age, well, we know that when he became man, he limited himself. He emptied himself, and he limited even his own knowledge, like when he said about the end, the day and the hour.
Yeah.
When
Father knows.
Right, and that's because he wasn't ignorant. It was because he limited himself.
Yes.
So he could have limited himself also as far as old age was concerned. You know, I mean, he could have lived forever if he wanted to, or he could have held it back and died of old age if he wanted to. So I think
what he did, Frank, I think those are excellent points, and I love the verse you shared. That was just right on. But Jesus came to carry out the will of his Father. I think that was the wonderful expression of faith in the garden, "Not my will, but yours be done." And God had prepared a body for him, and he inhabited that body. And through that body, he carried out the will of his Father. And that will was to die in our place, to take away our sins so that we could be made holy in him. Well, Frank, thank you.
It says that he died for all men.
That's exactly right.
Whether we want to take advantage of that, that's up, you know, that's our free will, you know.
Yeah. Well, Frank, as always, we appreciate your what you bring to the table for this broadcast. So thanks for your call today.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. Well, let's go to Maria, listening to us in North Brunswick, New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you? I have a question regarding when God said that he hardened Pharaoh's heart. What exactly does that mean? Like, did he not want him to, you know, receive him at any point? Like, I don't understand, like, how that said, like, it made it seem like it wasn't Pharaoh's choice. It was God's choice that God hardened his heart. So if you can just give me some insight on that and how I should interpret that.
Well, Maria, I think the first thing that you need to do with a verse like that is put it in its context. And so
okay.
So the context was this. Israel, God had spared, you know, the lives of the sons of Jacob. There was a drought in the land, and through Joseph they were able to escape, you know, ultimate death if they stayed in Canaan. And Joseph brought them to Egypt, where they settled down, and they lived in Egypt for 400 years. And as they grew and multiplied, the pharaohs of Egypt looked and said, hey, here's a group of people that are growing in number, and what are we going to do with them? And so they made them slaves, and they suffered enslavement for almost 400 years. And then God raised up Moses to lead them out of Egypt and take them back to the promised land. Well, Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. Every time Moses approached Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, no, we're going to keep you here. You're too valuable to us. And so through a series of plagues and all sorts of supernatural things, God hardens Pharaoh's heart to bring him to the point of saying, Moses, take the people and get out of here. And so that hardening was for a purpose, and that purpose was to set free the people of God. And that was the only way that that could have happened, because Pharaoh was not going to participate in God's plan. He was not going to be compliant to what God wanted to happen. So God simply hardened his heart, brought him to a point where he got so disgusted with it, he said, just take them. Moses, just take them and take stuff, and y'all go. Get out of here. And that's what he did. So there was a purpose there, and that purpose was the freeing of the people of Egypt. That's what enabled the Exodus to take place.
But wasn't his heart already hardened? I would have thought, you know, it seemed as though Pharaoh's heart was already hardened. I don't know why, you know, God would have to say, like, he hardened the heart. I thought Pharaoh's heart was already hardened on his own volition.
And, well, his heart was,
you know, that's why God would...
His heart was in rebellion toward God. But the hardening, just again, it was for a purpose, to bring him to a point where he went along with the plan of God. Richard?
Yeah, in the story, it's in Exodus 7, 8, 9, 10, along and through there. It actually says it both ways. It says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, refused, and it also said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So what God was doing through all of these plagues was to dismantle the religious system of Egypt. They had their own gods, and their primary god was Pharaoh himself. And God showed Pharaoh that Pharaoh was no god, that Pharaoh was just a man like everyone else, and brought about what Bob was talking about here, just brought about the freeing of the children of Israel. But it says it both ways.
Couldn't he have actually softened his heart, though, and made him go along with Moses freeing the people? You know, I'm confused.
Well,
I don't understand quite what it means to actually harden the heart, because I'm thinking he could have just softened his heart, and then he would have just went with the plan, you know, of freeing the people. And I understand that I'm only seeing a small aspect where God sees the entire picture of what needs to be happening. So, and then I guess my other question would be, does God harden people's hearts in this day and age?
Well, Maria, I think we, you know, our own rebellion against God hardens our heart. When we are exposed to the kindness and goodness of God, that's either going to move us toward him or move us away from him. Those who are moved away from him, it's because they harden their hearts toward him. Well, Maria, we're out of time on this broadcast. Thanks for your great question today.
And thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition. And for your gift of any amount, don't forget, you'll receive our 3-CD series, Profiles in Character, by Bob Christopher. In the series, Bob outlines some very important lessons, finding that sometimes in life, the most unlikely of people prove to be the true heroes. Profiles in Character, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and receive your CD series, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours or basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. See you next week. Bye-bye.